be honest, I would put myself in the same category as D-Wade.
Now Artest is jumped over the scorer's table. Artest is in the stands.
This man was a bona fide scrub. He can't play.
When I go to the writers to tell me who can guard in this league, I'll put a gun to my own head.
Welcome to the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It's Friday, April 16th, 2021. Alex Peruta here with Shannon McEwen and Ken K-Train Kreitz.
All aboard!
This podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, RotoWire.com, and Ken's favorite, YouTube, where he is the, I guess, technically your video producer now. Add that to the resume.
I prefer, like, Dungeon Slave.
Hey, if you put that on your...
Did we have the same dream last night?
Please leave a nice review on any of these places where you can hear us, including YouTube.
Yeah, if you put that as a skill on LinkedIn, I will endorse you for it. So let's jump into the news. biggest news from, I guess, yesterday. LaMarcus Aldridge retired from the NBA on Thursday. Due to an irregular heartbeat issue. He announced his retirement on social media. He experienced an irregular heartbeat while he was playing on Saturday against the Lakers. And then he said that night it was, I think he said it was worse, and it was the scariest thing he's ever experienced. And he, I assume, just called the Nets and was like, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not playing basketball anymore.
I think the team, though, he had to go to the team, and the team sent him to that hospital.
Right.
Man, yeah. I'm just calling 911 when that inevitably happens to me in the next 3 months.
It's sort of like calling your mom before you're calling the hospital, right? It's like, I don't feel so good.
My heart's exploding. Yeah, call the ambulance. While you still can.
LaMarcus Aldridge was a 7-time All-Star and 5-time All-NBA selection. After being selected second overall in the 2006 NBA draft, he finishes his career with averages of 19.4 points, 8.2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1.1 blocks in 34 minutes a game. Shannon, who do you think steps up at center for the Nets? Is this, I mean, there's basically three options: DeAndre Jordan, Claxton, and Jeff Green.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a fluid situation. The Nets started Claxton on April 13th. He played 21 minutes. I believe that was maybe the first start of his career. But then the next game, April 14th, they started DeAndre Jordan. He had a pretty monster outing, 38 fantasy points, 12 points, 14 rebounds, 5 assists. Only 26 minutes in that start for DeAndre. It's tough. I think it's going to be fluid like that, though, and they're just kind of bounce back and forth. There might be days where DeAndre needs to sit.
Because he's 87 years old.
Yeah. I mean, Claxton's the guy with the more upside, but I just think it's going to be matchup-based, and there's going to be nights when DeAndre needs the day off. And even in the game that Claxton started, he only played 21 minutes. I think his season high is like 26 minutes. So
the
they haven't really.
Situation is going to drive managers crazy. Absolutely. The rest of the season.
I just think you stream whoever's starting, essentially. You know, it's tough. I would say I think DeAndre Jordan maybe has a little bit of a higher floor, and Claxton has the higher ceiling. Is the way, probably the best way to label it. And then like you said, Jeff Green is in there. I think Jeff Green's more situational, though. Like, he'll get the starts at center when they're playing smaller teams, a team with a legit five. I mean, there's highlights on Twitter last night that I saw of Jeff Green trying to guard Joel Embiid. And it was embarrassing. I mean, it was like my 2-year-old son trying to guard me. It doesn't work. So I don't
teach
think
him
Jeff
a
Green,
lesson.
Yeah. Jeff Green's more of a, he's a small four even. So he's more of a guy who's going to play the four, than the five.
Obviously bad news for Brooklyn, but they did get some good news. Kevin Durant, not on the injury report tonight, should play against Charlotte, right?
Yeah. Him being back is obviously huge for them. I think they gave him all that. He came back and then Harden went out, and it felt like one of those situations where, I don't remember the exact timing of it, but a lot of times you get the feeling that are these guys really not healthy enough to play? Durant had missed a lot of time, but you want to be careful with a guy like Durant coming off the Achilles tear. Okay, Ken, let's move on to the Lakers.
Well, one more thing on LMA. I just want to point out the Bulls actually traded that pick. Chicago right. had the second overall pick, and they traded the pick, which everyone knew was going to be for Aldridge, and a second rounder to Portland, who did draft Aldridge, for Victor Caryapa and Tyrus Thomas. So I yes. apologize to all Bulls fans, including Mike Barner, listening to today's show.
Tyrus Thomas, former favorite of the RotoWire podcast, the early days of the RotoWire podcast.
Ooh, not great. A glorious season. That was
definitely a better dunker than LaMarcus Aldridge, but probably not great. You know, in terms of highlights, who really won the trade? But you know,
as far as Hall of Fame qualifications,
LMA is one of the most underrated NBA players of all time. Absolutely,
all those years of small market Portland. Yeah,
absolutely, of his era, definitely one of the more underrated. But 7-time All Star, 5-time All NBA, like Alex had mentioned, just a great player. I know we Alex, Nick Whalen, and I were talking about some all fantasy teams about a year ago. You know, that's how we kept ourselves busy during the quarantine, the early days of the quarantine. And LMA was one of the guys who it's like, oh, no, he has to be considered. Like, he is one of the better big men in fantasy for the past 10 years or all-decade team, whatever we were looking at. Yeah. But he's just, yeah, criminally underrated.
All right, gentlemen, let's go to L.A. Reports from Mike Trudel of the official Lakers site saying that Coach Frank Vogel said there's an outside chance Anthony Davis returns in one of these two games against the Jazz, either Saturday or Monday. Davis has been cleared to practice. The 28-year-old Davis has missed 28 games due to his calf injury. Meanwhile, Lakers lost 121-113 last night at home to the Celtics. L.A., Lakers, they're not a bad 6-8 in the 14 games without Anthony Davis and LeBron. I dare any NBA team to lose their two best players and, you know, play really well. LeBron set to return on May 2nd. And Andre Drummond didn't play in last night's loss due to his lingering toe issue, which is odd. But, gentlemen, outside of Davis and LeBron, where do you see fantasy value on this changing Laker roster?
Do you mean once LeBron and AD are back?
Or just rest of season, knowing we've got, you know, you need games played with the fantasy playoffs coming. Drummond's, to me, the Drummond-Gasol situation's a little in flux. Gasol actually had a really nice game in that loss. Could not miss a shot from 3-point. Well, he was 4 from 6, but he was red hot. This just seems like a fluid rotation, and I'm not sure who to bank on from now to rest of season.
Yeah, I'd be worried about Gasol and how many games he actually plays. You know, someone who I'm not sure he'll be a part of the everyday rotation. I could see Drummond being fantasy relevant because we know that if he gets 20 minutes, that he can put up like 15 and 15 on any given night. Obviously, he's going to be a worse fantasy player than he was in Cleveland. I mean, I think ultimately this kind of comes down to Dennis Schroeder because he is the third, you know, the third guy in that team. He's the guy who can make the offense run when LeBron is off the court, especially. And I'm kind of expecting Davis and LeBron to miss games here and there throughout the rest of the season because Nick and I touched this on, I think, our last podcast, that the Lakers have 8 back-to-backs to end the season, essentially. So,
why would you tire those guys needlessly?
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
They're not going to do that. They're definitely going to be resting LeBron and AD as much as possible. You know, looking at it, I'm looking at the LeBron numbers with LeBron off the court, and Markieff Morris, Schroeder, and Kyle Kuzma. You know, right. And THT, Horton Tucker. Those are really the guys who have jumped up from being either marginal fantasy options to legit even 10-team guys in the case of Kuzma and Schroeder that are going to fall back to where they were pre-LeBron, pre-AD injuries. Morris was you know, even with AD and LeBron out, just a deep league guy, he's going to be worth dropping as soon as AD returns. Schroeder will still hold across all leagues. Kuzma in 10-team, 12-team leagues might be droppable. Depends on, yeah. I think in most 10-team leagues, absolutely. 12-team leagues, it might be deep enough to keep.
Maybe in daily transactions, so when Davis gets the night off. But
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, even Montrezl Harrell, he's a guy to watch, but that's mainly because of Drummond. You know, Gasol's a non-factor this year for fantasy. He's going to fall off the face of the earth, like Kyrie would say, the edge of the earth. It's Drummond and Schroeder behind AD and LeBron. Those are the two guys I'm looking at for fantasy value.
Alex, take us to Golden State, where there's some unpleasant news.
Rookie center James Wiseman had surgery on Thursday to fix the meniscus injury in his right knee. He will miss the rest of the season as well as any summer practice. The team will have an update in September.
Yeah, that's what scared me. They're like, okay, and next update will come September. You're like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm sure they will say something between now and September. But boy, that makes you think this is long term and he's not going to get to play summer league and this could really bleed into next season. So I think this has ramifications for redraft leagues because this concerns me.
Yeah, when they announced he was undergoing surgery, I wrote the note for it on the site and did some reading. Anthony Slater talked a little bit about meniscus injuries and that this is kind of important for the timetable, but when you treat a meniscus with surgery, you can either trim it or repair it. And a trim is not as good for the long-term health, right? It's kind of a quick fix, but you might be able to come back in 4 to 6 weeks. If they do the full repair, it's better for the long-term health of the knee, but it can take up to, it can take more than like 4 months or something. And I noted in the note that Jaren Jackson Jr., who's been out for 8 months, had the meniscus repair. They keep pushing his timetable back and back and back.
Season.
Yeah, so this could be, it's really up in the air.
It's going to linger.
It's going to linger, I think, for Wiseman. Is there anybody, Shannon, that we like in the Golden State front court because of this, or is it just more Draymond, essentially?
Well, and Draymond's actually been the big winner from a fantasy standpoint and overall fantasy value, the big winner when Wiseman sits. I mean, Draymond with Wiseman's about 28 fantasy points per game. Without him, is about 39. And I think he's a better fit for Golden State when he's the small ball center, when he's playing with more shooters around him and he racks up more assists, he can focus on rebounds. When you've got Wiseman, it's, you know, somewhat of a black hole giving him the ball. And that just doesn't fit with what Draymond does well. So Draymond, I mean, if you're a Draymond owner, you're a big winner there. There's a little bit of interest in them going smaller and Jordan Poole seeing more minutes. Juan Toscano Anderson has coming off a big night. I believe a career high 20 points in last night's game.
Seven boards.
20 points, 7 boards, 3 assists. I'm skeptical that he's going to have many nights like that moving forward. One, that's a career high. And
two, he shot 8 of 9. That's that's hard to repeat, but yeah.
Exactly. And 31 minutes is a lot. I mean, even the previous three games before that outing, 19, 24, and 17 minutes. And I expect him to be more in that range. And there'll be nights where, that's also because Kelly Oubre is out of the lineup right now.
If Oubre is going to be the bigger winner whenever he comes back from his wrist injury. More shots? Play some minutes at the four?
Oubre will definitely see a boost, about 5.5 fantasy point boost without Wiseman in the lineup so far this season. So really, I expect once Oubre's back, I would say Oubre and Draymond Green, and Jordan Poole's the one other guy who I think is more interesting, just because his upside's higher than JTA.
Boy, Kevin Looney getting no love.
No. Kevin Looney will never get love.
Well, gentlemen, we've got some bad news out of Chicago. Zach LaVine is out 10 to 14 days. due to COVID-19 protocols. This is atrocious timing for the Bulls, who are desperately trying to make the play-in. They're sitting at the 10th spot now. Bulls have been 3-8 since that deadline and the big deal of the Magic. Guys, Alex, who on the Bulls benefits with LaVine out?
Well, I think this is an opportunity for Coby White to step up. Coby White, you know, he's been like a sixth man for them over the past, I think he's been like 12 games or something like that. He's come off the bench. I like
Satoransky down.
I love Satoransky. I'll be talking about him later. but yeah, maybe also Garrett Temple. But it's a bad situation for them for sure.
Yeah, you would expect Coby White to be the guy. I mean, I do think Coby White, if you're in 12, 14 team leagues, if he is available, and there's a good chance that he did get dropped, I believe he's worth the flyer. But I also have just this weird feeling in my gut that they're going to start Garrett Temple. I hope not. You know, Coby White's really the one guy on their roster who can replicate or come close to replicating what LaVine offers. So hopefully we see White get unleashed, get plugged back into the starting lineup. And I think he'll actually benefit from playing with a guy like Satoransky, who's, you know, more of that playmaker, pure point guard type.
Yeah, I think your thinking is the same way as mine, Shannon. We look at rotations enough and minutes enough in the NBA, and sometimes you just get a feeling that it's just Billy Donovan's like, you know who deserves 35 minutes? Garrett Temple. It's just like the other night, Nick Nurse announced Ken Birch was starting. So, you know, I wrote the Ken Birch note, and then I thought about getting the Boucher note because he had been starting the previous game. And then I was like, what if he starts both?
Like an all big lineup they had. It was Malachi Flynn and all bigs.
Hey, you guys. Quit blowing my load. We're going to talk about Ken Birch later, all right?
Okay, the last piece of news. Giannis Antetokounmpo returned against the Hawks, posted a 15-5-2 line. Obviously, he can perform better than that, but it was his first game back from knee soreness. How about Bogdan Bogdanovic, though, for Atlanta? 9 games since April, all starts, 22.4 points, 5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, a steal, 4.5 threes per game. He started off the season pretty slow, and then he got hurt, but now it looks like he's fully healthy and kind of rounding into form. And this is what Atlanta paid for, you know.
Yeah, you go. There you go. The triples. I mean, the threes.
Yeah. He was shooting. I mean, even before he was playing that well, he was shooting more threes than he had ever had shot in before in his career. So now that they're actually falling, and he's more comfortable within the offense, things are coming along for him. So he's looking like a great fantasy ad, especially, I mean, who even knows when DeAndre Hunter is going to come back? They've been kind of dragging that along for a while. Ken, do you want to take us to the fan feedback section?
Yes. Shout out to fan Austin Welty, who wants some roster help from us guys. He's in a keeper league, but he can only keep 2 players for next year. Mm-hmm. And I think the keepers are pretty obvious. His top 5 players are Karl-Anthony Towns, James Harden, SGA, De'Aaron Fox, and John Collins. This must be somewhat of a shallow league. 3 of those players are out indefinitely, though maybe not. And his playoffs start next week. He thinks he's got an outside chance of winning the first round. He said he was considering dropping SGA and John Collins. I said, yes, on YouTube, I said, yes, drop SGA. Not sure if he plays again this season. Obviously, his keepers are going to be Karl-Anthony Towns and James Harden for next year. But what are your guys' thoughts on John Collins?
I would need to know the rest of his roster setup. I think, you know, with Collins nearing, you know, looking like he's nearing a return, I would hold on to him. But, you know, Collins' latest news was he's out another week, and that was 8 days ago.
He could play Sunday.
So he could play soon. It really just depends on what the rest of your roster looks like. And if Collins, you know, whether or not Collins does return when you have to make that decision, by the time you have to make that decision. But for keepers, if the keeper cost is all the same, Cat and Harden, I mean, you have two top five per game guys, you know, you have to keep those two.
Yeah, I don't have anything more to add. I agree completely.
And then our good friend, Mr. Power Metal, he had a question about the center spot for Brooklyn, which I think we covered in the news. But any more thoughts on how DJ and Claxton are going to drive us crazy now to the end of the season?
I think you said it. I think they're going to drive us crazy. I think it's going to be a committee thing. It's going to be matchups.
And then they're going to trade for Garrett Temple and put him in the low post.
Garrett Temple, Bruce Brown, power forward center combination. Durant starts at point guard.
Yes. All right. Well, Alex, take us then to the waiver wire section.
Yeah. For this week's waiver wire, my available in 50% of leagues player is Nerlens Noel, who I was shocked to learn is only 21% roster in ESPN. Also below 50% roster in CBS, just barely above 50% in Yahoo. It's one of the biggest rostership discrepancies I've ever seen between two sites for a player.
58 to 21.
Yeah. I wrote about him and I wrote a specialist article the other day and was shocked to see how low roster he was, but he's ranked 77th over the past month. So it's not even a small sample here. Mitchell Robinson's been out for New York.
Will stay out too, I think. Isn't Robinson out for the rest of the season? He has surgery.
I think he's expected to be. Yeah. Unless they go to the finals or something. If you pick Noel up, it's just for defense because he's scoring 6 points a game on 57% shooting, but 7 rebounds, 2.4 blocks, 1.4 steals. So if you need steals and blocks and even rebounds, like grab Noel, even if you don't need those things, he's been the 77th best fantasy player over the past month. Like, you know, pick him up. Shannon, how about you? Who do you have?
Oh, I got to go back to the well, guys. Killian Hayes, who I fully...
you just can't quit him.
I fully expect Killian Hayes to be moved into the starting lineup tonight for Friday's game. The Pistons are without the Piston Detroit legend, Dennis Smith Jr., and Corey Joseph, the man who's been holding down Killian Hayes since the trade deadline. They're both out for Friday. And I know there's some Saban Lee talk, but I don't buy it. I think Killian Hayes gets his return to the starting lineup. And once he makes that return, I would be surprised if they go back. So I think Killian Hayes, he's had some good games. You know, he's coming off 8-3-6 outing. He's shooting more confidently than he did earlier this season. He's more of my long shot. We'll get back to my other pickup shortly. But Killian Hayes is definitely a guy I'm targeting in deeper leagues right now.
All right. My available in 50% of leagues is Hassan Whiteside. Only 38% rostered on ESPN. He is a hair over 50% on Yahoo. Mostly because Rashawn Holmes is out at least to the 20th with a hamstring issue. Kings have lost 9 in a row, so I don't know why they would rush Holmes back. And Whiteside's kind of Nerlens Noel with the possibility of points. Put up a double-double in the Suns' loss. 11 points, 10 boards. Get you blocks as well. Won't get the steals like Noel does. But I'll put Whiteside out there. And then a side note, why the heck are the Kings starting Mo Harkless?
I guess wing defense. They want a little more size, but
wing defense from 2015.
Yeah. Who even knows what's going on there? The franchise is more of a disaster every day. For my long shot of the week, I'm going Thomas Satoransky, who I mentioned before, 27% roster on Yahoo, 19% ESPN. With Zach LaVine out for the next 10 to 14 days, possibly longer, with how like aggressively it was reported that he was out, it was like Woj was just like, LaVine out indefinitely. I was like, okay, man, like chill out. Yeah.
Like, he was probably doing an interview on ESPN and just decided to keep it short, and, you know, and it came off as terrifying.
LaVine's out. So Satoransky, the past 2 weeks with LaVine around is 142nd ranked. But this since the trade deadline with Vucevic on the court and LaVine off the court, Sagoransky's about one fantasy point per minute. That's a pretty good mark. And I would expect him to see around 30 minutes. Someone worth, I mean, I think if you're in a 12-team league, you just add him and hope that he plays well. Maybe throw him in the starting lineup, your last starting spot. I'm not expecting anything crazy.
All those dimes setting up Garrett Temple.
Yeah, the Garrett Temple, Thomas Sagoransky two-man game. They just keep passing it back and forth.
Cover the media guide right there. Yeah. There you go. We need a nickname for Sadoransky. If we constantly bring him up, he's a nickname.
I was going to see if he has one.
You look that up while Shannon gives us his available in 50% of leagues pick. Who you got, Shannon?
Sadoransky, that's Ken's dungeon slave. All right. So my actual pickup of the week is Monte Morris. So with Jamal Murray out for the rest of the season, Monte Morris was given the first look in the starting lineup for Denver. Yeah, he's better when he has the ball in his hands more and not playing alongside Jokic, just because he can rack up assists, but he doesn't get as many opportunities to really do that. I'm curious to see how long he actually sticks in the starting lineup.
They've been giving Campazzo a lot of minutes.
Campazzo has been getting a lot of minutes, and they could, Denver could get kind of creative with it, but I think, you know, as long as he's starting, I think Monte Morris is worth a pickup. Definitely in 12 and 14 team leagues, 10 team leagues is probably not, your league's probably not deep enough to worry about it. Cause I think Will Barton's going to have more responsibility. Michael Porter's kind of stepped up recently. He's actually playing really well. And then Aaron Gordon, they're still trying to figure out ways to kind of uncap him since he moved from Orlando to Denver. So he could just be more involved in the offense as well. So you got Campazzo, Monte Morris, PJ Dozier could get more run as well if you're in a deeper league. But yeah, Morris is the first guy that I'm going to take a flyer on for that Denver rotation.
Denver, they can get creative, but they can only get so creative because their depth really isn't that good. Right. So it's going to be the top like eight guys playing a lot of minutes, I think, if they want to keep that good playoff spot.
Yeah. PJ Dozier, that's as creative as they can get.
Yeah.
He's really a wing. He's not going to ball handle a lot. He's
No. It would be ball. It would basically be Barton playing the point. But when your center is your actual point guard, I don't think it matters, right, essentially. Right. And actually, I mean, if you look at the game on April 14th, PJ Dozier is the one who stepped up. He had 31 fantasy points. They did win pretty handily. He's a solid player who can catch fire and rack up some fantasy points.
Tis true. Celtics just let him walk. A couple of years ago was a two-way player for the Celtics and just let him go. I'm going to do my long shot of the week. Veteran named Reggie Jackson. Pat Beverly is hurt again for the Clippers. Jackson's owned in 18% of ESPN leagues, a hair over 25%. In Yahoo leagues, Jackson's starting. Plus, you just never know when the Clippers are going to rest their stars, right, Alex?
Yeah, the other day, I can't remember Tuesday or Wednesday, but they asked Tyronn Lue what his starting lineup was, and he gave the five names. He's like, these guys are starting for now. And it's like,
dun, dun, dun. Like,
thanks, man. Like, what does that mean?
Do you think he has a bubble cloud thought of you being frustrated setting the daily lineups? Like, Alex.
I genuinely think a lot of coaches love messing with the media. I know like a lot of them will not disclose minutes restrictions, anything like that. I also looked up Sagoransky. His nickname is Saddy. Who could have seen that coming? Also,
Saddy nickname.
Yeah. That's just... Also, a sneaky old guy. He's 29. Came into the league late, was 25 when he was a rookie, kind of like
if you've seen him run, Alex.
it's kind of like a Bogdan Bogdanovic situation, who's 28. And I think people think he's a lot younger than that.
Don't forget all those glorious years he had in Washington for Sadoransky.
Oh yeah. That's why you're Saddy's daddy.
Fair enough. Fair
I think
enough.
I think we should move on.
Yeah. Nothing screams move on to DFS like Saddy's daddy. Go to DFS.
There is an 11-game slate tonight, and that should stick because it feels like we had a postponement in like 2 months. Highest over-unders for today, New Orleans at Washington, 240.5. Ken has to check his glasses to make sure that's right. I looked up, out of curiosity, I went to Basketball Reference and looked up some scores from 10 and 20 years ago on the same day. 10 years ago, in 2011, the highest total from one of the four games played was 203. And 20 years ago in 2001, Cavs versus Knicks finished with a 158 total.
Charles Oakley, I think, punched Hot Rod Williams in that game.
I looked up, Mark Jackson was in that game, as well as Latrell Sprewell and some others. That was kind of a fascinating box score to take a look at.
Alex, you're too young, but you know, like the heyday of the Ben Wallace Pistons. So we're talking about eight or 19 years ago.
Yeah.
They had a streak of like a ridiculous streak of games, like 30 games or something, holding teams under like 80 points. so that, you know, a lot of 85 to 78 wins.
Yeah.
That's what we had to enjoy in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Wallace would shoot like 40% from the free throw line, but just beat the heck out of anyone that came anywhere near the key. As the younger Rick Mahorn for the Pistons back then.
The myth about Ben Wallace is that he can curl like 500 pounds.
Yeah, he had big guns. You know, I was sadly living in Cleveland when that Knicks game occurred. This is outside chance I was at that and probably not paying much attention. who's hurt? Who's hurt for tonight? Who are we worried about playing, not playing?
I think I could honestly just list any combination of like 10 players and I'd have about a 50% chance of being right, whether or not they were actually on the injury report. But as of right now, Kawhi Leonard, Tobias Harris, Miles Turner, Nerlens Noel are all questionable. PJ Washington, doubtful. Lonzo Ball, probable. Please, for the love of God, check the RotoWire lineups page and the injury news section because,
NBA lineups page, highest traffic page on RotoWire.
Yeah, we should start charging people.
Your work is beloved, Alex. People love your work.
We need to start charging people per view and take this company public. It's kind of like if you've played the old Roller Coaster Tycoon games, you could charge people to use the bathroom like 25 cents for some extra revenue. Okay, so for DFS, one of the first guys I looked at was Isaiah Stewart for Shannon's Pistons. Pistons should have some value tonight just because they are missing a lot of guys, especially at guard, but also Mason Plumlee is not playing. He is resting officially.
They also have an interesting opponent, Alex.
The Thunder, who are one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. Although, honestly, I am kind of looking forward to the Moses Brown versus Isaiah Stewart matchup. I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Agreed.
No one's more manly than Beef Stew. So... Moses Brown is fine. He's fun. I like him. But Beef Stew is just, he's the manliest man in the league already. It's insane.
He would outwork Moses, you're saying?
He would snap Moses Brown in half.
He's no Ben Wallace yet, though. He's no Ben Wallace yet.
Yeah. He's almost there, man. I know he went 4-for-4 from the line against OKC the last time they played. So no, he is no Ben Wallace. I agree. Here you go. Last game against OKC. This is just 11 days ago. Beef Stew. That's his name. That's his nickname. In case anyone was, you know, curious. Isaiah Stewart. Beef Stew. 33 fantasy points in 22 minutes. So the Pistons blew out OKC. You know, the Pistons are one of those, they're a bad team, but they absolutely destroy the really bad teams. because of Beef Stew, he hustled, man. 12-6, one steal, four blocks. Basically didn't play the last 25 minutes of that game because it was such a big blowout. He is an absolute monster for DFS tonight, so I'm with you there.
The Pistons have a better net rating than the Kings and the Wizards. That's hard to believe. The Wizards have Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. The Kings have De'Aaron Fox. Buddy Hield. It's kind of unbelievable, honestly.
Should have traded Buddy Hield. Should have traded Barnes and Hield and started over because they're not going anywhere.
That might be one of the worst. Like, if you had to pick, like, which franchise would be the least appealing to take over, Kings is near the top of the list of, like, franchises I would not want.
The owner's meddling every other day. Yeah. Now, but back to DFS, Alex. You like the backcourt in Florida/Canada.
Yeah. Fred VanVleet, Toronto Raptors versus the Orlando Magic. This is going to be Fred VanVleet's first game back. He was injured. Then he served a suspension. Now he's back. This is a little bit risky because who knows how many minutes he'll play, but he could also play 45 minutes and take every shot on the team.
Well rested. So,
yeah, well rested. I think that's the best way to put it.
Well, also no Lowry. So
yeah, no Lowry.
Rachi will be manning the backcourt. So that could be a lot of shots for FVV.
Yeah, true. Absolutely. I agree. I mean, FVV and Isaiah Stewart, both two guys in my lineup. I don't think that VanVleet is very risky tonight. The matchup's great. And the fact that Lowry and everyone else on Toronto City just means he should have the green light to do whatever he wants.
Ken, who are you?
Yeah,
who
Siakam's you have out. I didn't notice Siakam was out for Toronto tonight. That's
OG, Lowry, Siakam, everyone.
Like, yeah, they're all out. My one cheapo suggestion is going to be Caleb Martin of the Hornets, 3,500 at Brooklyn. We know Brooklyn's not bothered with defense sometimes. P.J. Washington's probably out. Not that Martin's a power forward, but it does open a lot of minutes for Martin. Martin had 17 points and 10 rebounds in Wednesday's game as a starter. And our usual brother notification, I am not recommending his twin brother, Cody Martin. Do not make that lineup mistake.
Caleb Martin's about a one fantasy point per minute guy on the year. So if you're getting him for minimum and he's expected to play maybe even 30 minutes, obviously you're in a great spot there. Shannon, is there anybody else that's catching your eye?
Oh, my expensive guy that I like a lot is Vooch. Vucevic is going up against Memphis. He is going to, you know, with LaVine gone, should have a monster outing. He's been great since he got traded to Chicago. You know, I echo Alex's endorsements. You know, I mentioned Killian Hayes earlier. He's 3,800 on FanDuel, and it just depends. If he gets the starting nod, I'm going with him. But if the Pistons end up running out Diallo or Lee as the starting point guard instead, then I'll probably call an audible and go with one of those guys. You know, I like Terry Rozier. I like Charlotte. So Charlotte's one to watch. They're playing Brooklyn. So that's it. That's going to be a high scoring affair. You already have PJ Washington's questionable. You know, LaMelo's out, Graham's out, Hayward's out, Monk's out. And Rozier is going to be able to do whatever he wants, and he's coming off a 50-point outing. So I think he's a good option. And then, you know, like what we led off with, that New Orleans-Washington game, pretty much right. Anyone. You know, anyone you can plug in. Not anyone. From the Washington side, it's really like Westbrook and Beal. I don't have much confidence in anyone else from Washington.
How many Alex Len lineups are you going to have, Shannon?
Nah. Actually, yeah.
Hachimura's been good.
Hachimura's been well.
He was.
He had a very, very good stretch when Beal was out earlier, you know, and that was kind of topped off by a 50-point outing. And it seemed he had that 50-point outing, and then it seemed like it was 30 fantasy points almost every game for like a two-week stretch. But that two-week stretch ended about 9 days ago, and he hasn't been good since then. I'm hesitant to plug him in. He's still getting minutes, but that, you know, without if Beal's out, I like Hachimura a lot more.
Shannon's ramble there reminded me of an obscure fact I had to look up this morning. Guess which NBA team leads the association in steals per game?
I mean, is it the Wizards?
No.
Okay. No,
they're nowhere close. I don't have the rankings up, but I was shocked. I remember seeing it thinking, oh, that makes sense. I should have thought of that. They're playing tonight. They're on tonight's slate.
Portland.
No.
Miami.
No. It's the Grindhouse. The Grindhouse. Memphis.
Oh, wow.
Reminded me of the old Tony Allen teams. Anyway.
Oh, they lead by a lot, too. Nine
steals a game. Grizzlies lead the league in steals per game.
Yeah, yeah. They're at 9.4. Next team's at 8.9. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody else is muddled together there at 7-8. Right. Yeah. Grindhouse, baby.
Okay, Ken, let's go to your old man rant.
Ah, the Bulls are terrible, as Charles Barkley would say. Terrible! Their penalty for the amazing Michael Jordan years is clearly 21-plus years of utter mismanagement. I giggled Wednesday night when the Bulls lost in Chicago to the woefully depleted Orlando Magic. Of course, the Magic are depleted in part because they sent their best player, Nikola Vucevic, to Chicago, essentially for Wendell Carter and two first-round picks. Carter, in his revenge game, posted 19 points, 12 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Is Chicago cursed? The John Paxson as team executive days were just awful. The LaMarcus Aldridge trade was miserable. Will Billy Donovan and Mark Eversley turn things around? History says no, but I hope this historic franchise can get their act together.
It's a shame we didn't get like a full arena for that Bulls game, because I'm sure they would have all gotten just booed off the floor.
Mercilessly as well. They
oh
should
my
be.
Goodness. Yeah, because it's usually a packed house.
He wasn't been healthy. He was playing with a bad hip. They still beat him. Didn't matter.
Jeez. Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Man, I feel like it's mainly just coaching with them too. I don't know. The talent's been there. I mean, you've got the talent. Even when you guys when you're drafting guys like Coby White and Wendell Carter, I don't think that's a total failure. I think that there are talented players. It's just developing them and coaching. I don't know. Not a fan of Donovan.
I don't know either. I mean, I think I forgot his name. The previous coach. Oh, Jim Boylan. Everyone hated him so much, and he was so bad that I think anyone, you know.
The shoes were very small to fill when they got rid of the prior coach. Yeah.
I think Donovan's probably an average coach, but this team may need like a top five coach to really, you know, push into another tier. Mispronounced names.
Well, I've got it's not quite a mispronunciation, but it was a mistake. For Campazzo on the Nuggets, I said Moltobene, thinking he was Italian, but of course he's Argentinian. So I apologize to our fans, our many fans down in the Argentina region.
Were you also calling Malachi Flynn Malachi Flynn?
Ooh, I did
Malachi.
Say
Malachi. Malachi. Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, I did say Malachi. You're right. Yeah, that's legit. Just screw up right there. Yeah. Yeah. I did point out he's playing, though. People should know about Flynn. He's doing very well the last couple weeks.
Yep.
Yeah, Ken.
For tonight.
Ken giveth and he taketh away. So thank you, everybody, for joining us on the RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Ken, take us out of here.
Yeah, let's go to Milwaukee and legendary college coach Al McGuire, who said, "The only mystery in life is why kamikaze pilots wore helmets." Attention passengers! This three-car fantasy train wreck has hit the end of the line.